The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, in his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right hand is with the Lord and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, king shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A Hindu woman discovered that she was a great sinner and that God is holy and cannot pass by sin. She often said, "I need some great prince to stand before my soul and God." After a little while, she heard that the Bible contained the account of a Savior who died for sinners. So she asked a pundit, a teacher, or a learned man to read the Bible to her. He began with the first chapter of Matthew, and as he read the list of names and the genealogy of Christ, the woman thought, "What a wonderful prince this Jesus must be to have such a long line of ancestors." And when the pundit read, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins," the woman exclaimed, "Ah, this is the prince I need. This is the prince I want." As we consider our gospel lesson from John 1, we address the theme, God leads us to believe in Christ. My dear brothers and sisters who have been found by Christ Jesus, God teaches us all things about his Son, Jesus Christ. He tells us that Christ is the Son of God, which is our first point. John the Baptist said of Christ, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Christ Jesus is greater than all the prophets. In fact, he himself comes as the fulfillment of prophecy. All things come together and find their fulfillment and completeness in Christ Jesus. John also acknowledges the preexistence of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has always been. John was not going to get caught up in the idea of rank and privilege, as we would later see amongst Jesus' disciples. You know, that's an easy trap to fall into. But God's law quickly levels the playing field whenever you or I get puffed up on ourselves. It could be our family name, our social status, our accomplishments, you name it. And all of these can be fuel for the old Adam to rear its ugly head. For we simply do not measure up, but are all pronounced guilty as charged under the law. The Bible says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, we truly needed a Savior who tenderly approaches us in our needs, in our weaknesses, and who has the divine power and love to raise us up through all of life's problems. You ever think about the fact that many of our problems in life are self-inflicted? They come about because of our ignorance at times, poor decisions, or lack of humility. They all find themselves in the root, sinful root of Adam that clings to each one of us until the day we breathe our last. Isaiah says of our Lord Jesus, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law." In the midst of our sins, God leads us to believe in Christ. Secondly, we can confess today that Christ is the Messiah. In Isaiah 9:2, it says of him, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. That darkness is often caused by people's rebellion against God and his law. The light is that of Christ Jesus himself, who said of himself, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, as I drove home from church last night, and we live on Greenfield Street, and when I make that final turn to go east, I can see the Christmas lights on our house. And I got thinking, you know, maybe I should leave those puppies up year-round, pay the electricity, and let more light shine out into the world. Because I kind of live in a darkened neighborhood, at least on my street. Not too many people make their way out of their homes on Sunday morning to go to church. You probably have a little bit of that in your neighborhoods too, as half of Linn County is unchurched. The work of John the Baptist was to be the herald, to announce that the Messiah was at hand, that the light of the world had come. And yet John preached the necessity of repentance. Repentance, as we know, is simply sorrow over our sins, sorrow over your sins, sorrow over my sin. Article 12 of the Augsburg Confession puts it this way. Repentance consists properly of these two parts. One is contrition, that is terror, smiting the conscience through the knowledge of sin, and the other is faith, which is born of the gospel or of absolution and believes that sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, comforts the conscience, and delivers it from terror. The Messiah came to be the sin bearer, the offering for our sins. Those famous words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The Israelites would have been familiar with the lamb terminology. It was a major part of their sacrificial system. Remember how Abraham offered the lamb caught in the thicket instead of his son Isaac. And then, of course, there was a Passover lamb. As the children were delivered from their bondage in Egypt, the blood was placed on the doorposts so that the firstborn were spared. Blood and lambs go together. Now the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, has come in human flesh. He fulfilled the law of God perfectly and completely for all people, you and I included. He gives up his holy and innocent and precious life as the perfect payment for all sin. His blood is poured out while he hangs upon the cross. Recall how Peter pictured this, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Through that shed blood poured out upon the cross by Christ Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. The culmination of his work comes in the fact that his tomb is empty on Easter morning. As the Bible says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice this day that God leads us to believe in Christ Jesus. And finally, Christ Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit. The text says, "And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to him, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Their curiosity in terms of Christ Jesus had been aroused along the way. And Jesus says, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, or 4 o'clock. They were privileged probably to be able to sit and learn from Christ Jesus, the promised one who was with them in human flesh. You and I have the same opportunity to meet Christ Jesus in the divine service, in our daily devotions, in our Sunday school and Bible classes. It is a privilege. As we are in the Word, we grow in our understanding of what Christ Jesus has done completely for us. I like how Paul put it. "And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The joy and privilege of the Holy Spirit is to work through word and sacrament to bring us to repentance and faith in Christ. Notice what is happening in our text. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. What they had received, they were now compelled to tell others about. Whom do you know who is not connected to a Christian church or is no longer living from their baptism? To whom can you speak, invite, and yes, bring here to Zion Lutheran Church to hear of Jesus and to receive the gifts of God? It is the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, crucified and risen for the sins of the world, who clearly said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And then in Acts 4, we are reminded, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved." And that's referring to the name of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, says this to you: "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Thanks be to God that he has brought us to faith in Christ Jesus, and that he richly and daily forgives us all our sins. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.